The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For more information about the center, or for halachic services and resources, please call 1-888-485-VAAD, or visit thehalachacenter.org.
A lot of the protodimim of the melicha process in taking raw meat and turning it into edible for kosher use, because of the isser of dam, are to be found in our daf. The limud of melicha is really mostly a technical limud. There's a lot of teruvis and isser v'heter there, but there's also a lot of technical know-how of how the process of how the blood is absorbed and how the blood comes out, so and how to put on the salt and so on and so forth. The technical details in the sukkah itself that we're learning are somewhat complicated. So instead of getting so much into the sugya, what I'd like to do is just, for most people who have never experienced melicha firsthand, because normally today it's done by the meat companies, whereas everybody's grandmother in the good old days on the Lower East Side or in the shtetl, everybody had a salting board and everybody would do the melicha by themselves in the house. If I know correctly, a door ago it was still common to teach Beis Yaakov girls how to kasher a chicken. Today, not even that, because we're so far removed from it. But still, the process is good to know. L'hagdol Torah l'idea, at least to know what goes on. And you never know when you find yourself in a situation where the technical details could come in handy. So, let's just... some basics. Really, manage some basics. The basic idea of kashering chicken and meat is that dam is also to eat. The dam that's in the behema itself, not all the dam necessarily comes out when salted. The dam that stays in is not also dam evorim, not the dam that comes out of the evorim, but dam that's nivla in the meat, in the chicken itself. If it does not come out, it's considered part of the chicken, the meat, it's not also. So theoretically, not theoretically, practically, it should be mutter, and it is mutter, to eat raw meat. Because one takes a piece of raw meat and one puts it in his mouth, one is not being over any issue. The dam that's in the meat is there. Even if one chews it and something comes out, that's not real dam, doesn't come out of the meat. Okay, maybe you'd have to wash it off. But raw meat would be mutter to eat. Where's the problem start? The problem with dam starts that when one cooks the meat comes out of the chicken or the piece of meat, and it's absorbed back in. That's when it becomes awesome. It becomes nivla back into the basar that one is cooking. That's the issur. Now, let's just backpedal for a second. What is the issur of dam? The pasuk asur's midaraisa. It's clear that it's an issur midaraisa. However, the dam that we're talking about, whereas we just pointed out, the whole problem is by basar mevushal, the problem is not clear that it's a deraisa to gebral. Most Rishonim hold that dam mevushal is only derabon. The Rambam holds that dam mevushal is deraisa. The Makor for most Rishonim is the Sukkos of Dam, where the Dam that's also the Pasuk relates the Isra of Achilles Dam to Dam going on the Mizbeach. Dam Mevushal is possible for Zerika al Gabi on Mizbeach. The Rambam disagrees, so it's a question how to learn a Sugya Menachis. The Rambam holds that Isra Dam, even Mevushal, is Chayiv Koros bin Midaraisa. Agav, there's one important Nafkamina, an unfortunate important Nafkamina, in that the Shulchan Aruch and Choshe Mishpat Reish Lamed Daled paskins that if one gives somebody else for pay something to eat where the food is not kosher, that the halacha is that even if the person ate it, the person had lunch, but since what he ate was machol sasuris, if it's also midaraisa, then it's a mekach tois, and he does not have to pay for the meal, he could get back his money. But if it's only an issur derabanan, he cannot ask for the money back. He'll have to pay him the money. Since Sof Kol Sof he ate, this is in the Sivis Teh, famously. So it's where the Isser Dam, I'm sorry, not the Isser Dam, every Isser Midrabonon, the Isser Midrabonon is only if one violates the Takonis Chazal. If one did it B'Shoigeh, one is not violating the Chazal. So if one ate and one didn't know that one is eating Rachol Sasuris, it might be upsetting, but so one is not over an Isser. So therefore one would have to pay for the meal. Question: by any one of these tragic stories where dam that was supposed to be salted, that was supposed to go to be kashered, was not. Would one have to pay for the chickens retroactively or not? The chayyim should be telling him this. Usually it's not negayah because safe, even if it's only awesome, the rabbanan asks up the kalim. The damage that one has to his kalim will equal out for the chickens that weren't paid for. I'm just pointing out that there is a halacha lemaisa ramification, and there are ramifications since we pass kedam is only awesome in the rabban. If there are sveikos in whether melicha, certain sveikos in melicha, whether it was done properly or not, the shulchan aruch will be makel because dam, which is mevush, is only in the rabban. Now, in the context of our sugya, that is talking about Ayin Dal, which is talking about the sliya of the Korban Pesach getting out the dam and the issur of Korban Pesach being mevushal, it's discussed in the sugya the fact that if one puts meat, chicken, through a sliya, then the dam comes out. Which means that if the same way one normally needs melicha, because if one would not kasher the meat, bishul, which is any cooking with a medium besides for fire, the dam would come out and it would be reabsorbed into the basa, especially if one's cooking in water, the dam would be absorbed into the water, cooked, and then put back into the, reabsorbed back into the chicken and meat, which would answer it. Tzliya, the Gemara says that everything comes out. The heat draws the blood out. The Gemara discusses extensively that since now the chicken and the meat is ID depolit, it's involved in being maflit, getting rid of the dam, the process of the heat drawing out, does not allow it at the same time to absorb. Once the dam is out, the dam is out. If the dam would come out and one would put the meat back into the dam, if there would be a puddle of blood underneath the basar, and one would put the basar back in, then it would be awesome. So of course, the fire source where the meat is lying has to be removed from the dam enough that it does not touch the dam afterwards, otherwise it would add to it. The same is true when we talk about the kalim that are used for tzliya or for melicha will be also, in a lot of cases, will be also to be used for something else because they do absorb the blood after the process is true. I got a bunch of pieces of meat that are lying on top of each other, even though l'chayra, as soon as one piece of meat stops spitting out, stops being maflet, the dam l'chayot should be roy to absorb, since the other pieces that are with it are busy spitting out the blood, so until all the blood is out, the blood will not be absorbed back in. That's why it's not usur to pile up, to have a thick piece of meat or pieces of meat, one on top of another, when one is doing melicha. But again, these are protim, the very technical details, the fine details I don't want to go into, because it's complicated, it's all miktzay and teri, we're just discussing the ikum musakim. So here are some basic facts, and these are facts that are negayah, somewhat. The Goinim, Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim bring that the Goinim were choshish, based on inferences in other sugyas, that Shehi has basar for 3 days me'es le'es, 3 consecutive days that meat was shechted, an animal, a chicken was shechted, and the meat was not salted, it was not kashered. Sholosh me'es le'es, 72 hours, in other words. The dam that's inside will become more thoroughly absorbed. Meaning, say the live dam that's in a dam that's in a live animal is absorbed, but it's flowing. So, at a certain point after the death of the animal, the shechita of the animal, the blood that's still inside the walls of the meat of the chicken will be absorbed in a more thorough way because it's not alive anymore. That blood is not running. What point? So the Goyim give a share of 72 hours, which is a real, real problem. If somebody's living in an out-of-town community, where the shlachtos sends the meat without being salted, again, today it's not really a problem because usually they salted the kashrut on-site. But if not, and it was done this way 30, 40 years ago, there would be a shchita, there would be a truck that would bring a truck of meat that was shechted, and the local butcher would have the job of kashering the meat. If it's more than 72 consecutive hours, it's a real, real problem. The meat becomes osur. We ask for the meat b'di'evit. Shaila in the Shulchan Aruch, but we ask for the meat b'di'evit. The meat would not come out, the dam would not come out al yedei melicha. If there's a suffix, if it's 3 days, like we said, since it's only a chumrah, this din, the chumra the goyim, they were choishes for 72 hours, then we'll be mekel. But lemaisa, we will not be matir the mira yidim melicha. You'll have to do tzliya. Tzliya, like we said, does not take out the blood and then reabsorb it. It takes out the blood, and the blood does not go in. So one would have to, if one had a truckload of meat that did not go to melicha, one would have to roast all that meat, which is a hefsid merubah, because most people are not buying roasted meat from a store. But that's life. That would be the halacha. Even the tzliya itself is not clear that after 72 hours, when blood is absorbed into the walls of the behemah, into the walls of the piece of meat, does everything come out of the tzliya? What's the nafkamina? One could eat it. If it didn't come out, it didn't come out. Nafkamina be if one is mevashel after the tzliya, that might also be a problem. What would you have to do? You would literally have to take all the meat, and you would have to make a huge communal barbecue and roast all the meat, and that's where all the meat would be used. You could keep the leftovers, but again, the leftovers, it's not so pashut to cook afterwards. You wouldn't be able to heat it up again. You would have to eat the meat cold. So it's really a problem. The keeping meat 72 hours, it's kamat meat that goes leivud. I remember a story. Because the halacha is, Shulchan Aruch says that one can hose down the meat within 72 hours. That shakes the dam inside the kaisle habata, and that would make that the blood does not become so thoroughly absorbed that it wouldn't come out afterwards. It's called Hadocha Teichim Liyam. These are all these halachos in Melicha, Sim Samach Tes, Sim Ayin in Yerideya. The hosing down would work. I remember a story where, like we said, the butchers used to get a truckload of meat, before Melicha. They would check it, they would ship it across the country. Rabbi Emanuel Feldman has a famous story where the guy who's driving the meat truck, talks about the rabbi coming on the truck and blessing the meat, otherwise known as hosing it down, because the butcher was out of town, he wouldn't be back for another day, and it would be 72 hours, the meat would go leivud. So what they would have to do is they would have to hose down the meat in order not to get into this problem of sholosh me'is la'is. What would be the commonly asked question? Let's say they shecht in these big out-of-town places, Lamashal, the behemoth gassis, a lot of times for the Eidacharedis and other shechitas, they do in South America, or they'll do in Texas, or other places that are not near Jewish communities. A convenient way of not having to do the melicha ben, or sometimes they're under pressure, production pressure of finishing up a run and moving out because somebody else is taking over the plan. So what they'll do is, or what they would want to do is, they would want to freeze all the meat and ship the meat frozen before the melicha process. A big machloek zakroinim, Ramosher, Veliyoshev is involved. Whether the freezing absorbs the blood more thoroughly into the walls of the behemoth, that thereafter melicha won't help. It's not pashut. And the chayyim is a b'diavad, sh'b'diavad, sh'b'diavad, to freeze meat before melicha. The best thing is, of course, not to let the meat go out of the plant before melicha. There's too many problems. 3 days with freezing, with this, with that. And as well as it not being pashut, that there's a question, maybe the freezing of the meat would make it even better, that then it would be after 3 days. But then you always have to be cautious, maybe on the boat ride over, that at some point the meat wasn't totally frozen, defrosted, and then it froze again. So this is really a problem. There's a story, I remember one of the chubas from, I don't remember where, there was a story with a shipload of meat before melicha. They had this pressure where they had to get the meat out of the country. They did it before melicha, and on the boat, the generator that ran the freezer of where the meat was broke. They fixed it, but in the meantime, some of the meat had defrost. It was not partial which meat would be mutter b'diavad, which meat is not. It's a big mess. The best thing, of course, to do the melicha right there, which is basically what's done today. Washing down the meat, when we talk about hadocha, blessing the meat, in the terminology of the Atlanta truck driver, would that work on with any water? So they're talking about mayim chamin, they're talking about mayim poshim. It has to be done not with mayim chamin, it's done with mayim chamin, because it cooks the meat. If it cooks the meat again, the blood is absorbed and it goes back in. So they talk about, the Shulchan Aruch talks about mayim chamin b'klisheni, not cooking, being not hot enough, not cooking the meat enough, that it would not take away from the milo of hadocha, that it would stir the blood inside the meat, that thereafter melicha would help, and it would give you another 3 days until you could get around to doing the melicha. Some of the basics of melicha is before the melicha, besides for the meat that's absorbed, I'm sorry, the blood that's absorbed into the meat, there's the blood on the meat. There's a halacha that's in Shulchan Aruch, which again is b'di'evit even, is what's called shriyas hamayim, shriyas habosar lefnei melicha. The soaking of the meat, there's two reasons brought in the Paiskim, some are trying to say, to soften the meat, this way the melicha will make the blood, again, melicha re'el kereseach, there's somewhat of a heat process going on in the basar, which that softens up the meat, and then the melicha works. Or the other reason is to take off the layer of blood that's absorbed on the surface of the meat, which would prevent, the dry blood would prevent the melicha from drawing out whatever dam is left inside the meat. According to the Mechaber, if one did not do the first hadacha, which, like we said, for whatever reason, takes away the effectiveness of the melicha, so some of the dam is going to be left. If you thereafter cook it, there's going to be blood that's going to come out of the basar and go back into the basar. That last year, the melicha was not totally effective in drawing out whatever blood is going to come out, ayde bishul. So what would you have to do? You have this meat, if you did melicha without hadacha rishona, and it's been known to happen, what would have to be done is, you would have to use the meat with tzliya. Because again, tzliya will draw out the blood without putting the blood back in, without reabsorbing the blood. That would be mutter. According to the Ramah, that's also awesome, because the melicha thereafter draws out the blood, but maybe some of it will go back in. So that would also be awesome. The melicha itself, the shear that's brought down, the sugyas, and the sugyas chulin, the shear mil. A shear mil, interesting, is not a shala that's germane to the melicha. Shear mil is negeah. How to compute Zman Krishma, Rabbeinu Tam's 72 minutes of Ois Shabbos, Krishma, etc., when Laila Vada is based on a shear of 4 mil. 4 mil being according to Lada Rishonim, 18 minutes, based on the Sugya in later on, Pesachim, the Sugya Pesachim, that's Tzadik Gimel. And there's different shiurim. There's a shear of 18 minutes, a shear of 24 minutes. Nagaya, by the way, also 18 minute matzah. It's brought down the Sugya that Lechem is not Nachman until a shear mil. According to some Rishonim, the shear of 18 minute matzah is really not 18, it's 24. There's three shears. There's 18, 21, 24. 24 is a chumrah, but it's also a pula if you talk about matzah. So when you talk about melicha, the melicha is ma'akiv, it doesn't have a shear mil. Lechatchila, we leave it on more. The salt, in order to do its thing and draw out all the blood, we say that it only does it, we leave it on for an hour. After that, there's something called hadacha. Afterwards, hadacha three times, after to wash off the salt and wash off the blood and get out the remaining blood. These are all halachas. Sukkot and Shulchan Aruch, again, it doesn't really come up that often. The other thing that's worth mentioning is the Indian of Tzliyas Kaveh. It's mentioned in the Sugya is that the Kaveh, the liver of animals, since the liver is basically a blood-absorbing vessel, all the blood in the human as well as the animal body gets filtered through the liver. The liver is essentially soaked through with blood. Not all the dam will come out of the melicha. The only thing that could kasher liver is tzli. And that's exactly the way they do it. When they want to kasher livers, they kasher them on. It was done in old days, it was done on a spit. Today it's done on a gas range by the companies. If you go into the big deli stores that have a separate section. I don't know, maybe today already they do it in the company, but years ago you were able to go and you would smell when they were roasting the kaveh. There was a distinct smell of the kashering the livers. The process, again, like we said, was done on done in the Gemara's times. It was done on coals. It was done on a spit. Why? In order that the blood should run out and it shouldn't be reabsorbed. It shouldn't lie in the blood, like we said. If it lies in the blood could be reabsorbed after it finishes getting rid of all the blood. The tzliyas kaveh is the same problem of 72 hours, and this is a real thing. Again, today the Hechsherim are pretty thorough about this, but 10-15 years, if I remember, it wasn't pashut. Tzliyas kaveh works after 3 days, but the nafkamina is that after 72 hours, where more blood gets absorbed into the walls of the kaveh, of the liver, so you can't kasher the liver to the extent that you would be able to be mevashel after tzli, meaning, if the liver was kashered, if a batch of livers was kashered more than 3 days after the shechita of the animal, more blood was absorbed in the walls of the liver than could come out of the tzliya, it'll be also to be melasher. You'll have to eat the meat, you'll have to eat the liver as is. There's certain recipes where that would be a problem. Maybe you could heat it up on a dry stove, because that's also clear. But anything that would smack a bishul, if it has any moisture, any liquid, anything else that's being cooked with, would be a real problem. If it's nitzle, if the livers are kashered with tzliya within 72 hours, it's not a problem, because there we said that all the dam comes out. Again, by COVID, by kashering livers also, they do the same thing. They do the hadocha before. What's interesting is that from the Rishonim, it seems that they put on, this is what they do, they put on a little bit salt to help the process of the tzli along. Afterwards, they wait till the dam comes out. Whatever the technical details, again, are not in here. We're just talking about the basics. And what they do is they wash it off 3 times. If the company wants, and this is normally the way they do it, that the liver should be roy to be mevashal after tzliya, you have to do a real thorough broiling, a real thorough tzliya, roasting. A tzliya that would only make it roy lachila, like you would roast it enough that it would be somewhat done, would be enough to eat it, but it would not be enough to prevent the problem of bishal achat tzliya. That would still be a problem. So these are all details that are important. Again, with the livers, you know, there's a makim for being more machmir, for being less machmir. The better hechsherim usually cover a uniform level of taking care of all the problems. But again, like everything else, even if the hechsherim are taking care of it for us, it's good to know the details of anything in kashrus. It gives us more of a feel for what we go through or what we should be going through in order to eat kosher. It certainly gives us an appreciation of our grandmothers, of our babas and elder babas, what they went through to ensure that what would go into our bodies would be kosher food. So, this is some of the details of the dinim of Melicha as far as the Issur Dam is concerned.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.